It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible? Or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible
Study.
We're glad that you're here tonight, and we hope you'll stay tuned. If you're listening to us in the United States, the gas prices are too high to go anywhere. Stay right where you are and study the Bible with us on the Virtual Bible Study tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my co-host, my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, it's good to be with you tonight. Look forward to the Virtual Bible Study.
We're looking forward to the study. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned as we look at the important question tonight. Does the Church of Christ believe that they're the only ones going to heaven? I want to ask that question tonight, and we want to get your input as well. The number to call, 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or email us by going to our website. Go to questions@collegeview.com and email us your questions or comments tonight. Dad, we want to introduce a new feature that we introduced it last week, but it's new and improved tonight already. We've gone through a revision, and we've updated our feature. Last week, we had an interactive version, a follow-along version. We'll look at that again tonight.
Also, that's right, Jacob, and we've kind of updated that and tried to make it a little better. We're going to continue to tweak that, but if you're listening, on the page where you clicked to turn on your media player, you'll also find a link there to click on and look at the chart for tonight's discussion. So it should be on the last page where you clicked, and that click turned on your media player. If you'll downsize your media player, minimize it, you'll see a link there on that page to tonight's outline. Click on that, and it'll bring up the chart.
Pull it up tonight and go along. We have an enhanced edition again tonight. You can look at our outline, follow along, some things for you to look at there on our website. If you'll click beside the link where you listened, and we'll let you look at some of our outline tonight. We're appreciative of you being here tonight, and we're looking forward to the study. Joining us on that study tonight is Mike Johnson, a member of the College View congregation. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here with you. Looking forward to the study this hour.
Looking forward to being with you, Mike. Well, Dad, it is an interesting claim that many claim that the members of the Church of Christ think that they're the only ones going to heaven tonight. We want to look at that and see if that is a true claim, and do the members of the Church of Christ feel this way? And more importantly, who is going to heaven? What does the Bible say about that question? Who gets to go to heaven? That's what we want to look at tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a worthy discussion because very often people have this opinion of the Church of Christ, or at least it's typically one of the first questions that comes up. If someone finds out that, for instance, if someone finds out that I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I can almost guarantee that one of the first two or three questions that will come to me relative to that discovery will be, oh, Church of Christ, I heard that you all think you're the only ones going to heaven. Is that true? And so we get that question a lot, and therefore I think it's a good thing to talk about on our broadcast tonight. What about that? Who's going to heaven? Is it just certain members of a certain church? What does the Bible say?
Well, you know, I think it is an offensive idea to many people that someone could be exclusive or think that the members of the church that they're a member of are the only ones going to heaven. We're going to look at the Bible tonight and see what it says. We look forward to taking a call from you. The number to call is 931-381-4567. 931-381-4567. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. Or you can email those thoughts. The email address to use is questions@collegeview.com. Questions@collegeview.com. You can find that link also there on our website, right beside where you click to log on tonight. The questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use. Well, as we look at this question, I think it's important for us to start, as you see on your outline there, the enhanced edition of the Virtual Bible Study tonight. An important question for us to ask at the beginning is, who gets to make the rules? Who gets to decide who goes to heaven? Who is in charge of making the rules and determining who goes to heaven? That's an important question we need to ask, Dad. And obviously the answer is God gets to make the rules. God gets to set the standard that he will use to judge to determine who gets to go to heaven.
In almost any important activity, there has to be some source of authority. We have to find out who is in charge, who gets to say so, And that's true in matters of religion especially. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody to say that God is the one who gets to set the rules. But there's, you know, a lot of people would might give lip service to that concept, but probably not enough people put that into real practical application.
Well, in Matthew chapter 28, Mike, we see an important principle. Jesus tells the world, tells us through the disciples, that we need to go and baptize all nations and teach them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So it was important to Christ that we follow a certain pattern, and that pattern is set forth in the Bible.
Absolutely. From time to time, if you drive to a different town or something like that, sometimes you might see a billboard as you enter that town that says, attend the church of your choice. You know, make your own decision among many different churches and denominations and things like that. However, the teaching of the Bible is completely contradictory to many of the ideas that man has as of today. As we see in the verse that you mentioned there, Jacob, in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. If you have a choice of attending many churches, there's different things in many churches. There's certainly not unity in every church, and certainly contradictory to what the Bible teaches.
You know, important thing about that verse, though, Dad, is it shows us that Jesus is interested in the specifics, so the things that we practice.
You know, that's right. A lot of people think that the specifics don't matter and that God doesn't care. But in that very first verse, of course, that's what we often refer to as the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, when you go and make disciples, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So Jesus does care. The Lord is concerned about us observing the specific things that he instructed us to do, and we're not at liberty to make changes in that.
Furthermore, in John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So again, Mike, that standard is set forth there in John chapter 12, verse 48, and that standard is the word of God, the word that Jesus has spoken. That's going to judge us in the last day. God's going to see how we line up to the commands that he's given us and how we have followed them.
Sometimes we may be a bit intimidated and things like that because these catchphrases now that we might be called narrow-minded and things like that, because we think that there's only because we have the audacity to think that there's one way and one way only to be saved. However, the Bible clearly teaches not only Matthew chapter 7, I think verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So the Bible teaches us that the truth is narrow and it is straight.
Well, that's an excellent point, Mike. The world is not thinking the way that God thinks, obviously, here. This isn't politically correct, Dad, to say that Jesus says there's a standard that we've got to live by. You can't live however you want, that there's not multiple ways that you can live. God has set forth a standard, and that's what he expects us to live by.
That's right. You know, this political correct thing that you mentioned, I think that's really evidenced most clearly in the fact that in recent years, it has been considered inappropriate to even say something like Muslims can't go to heaven because they don't believe in Jesus, or Jews can't go to heaven because they don't believe in Jesus. Boy, if any politician were to hint such a thing, his political career would be ruined. But the Bible is very clear about that. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I got to believe that the majority of Christians, at least the majority of Christians that live in our part of the world, still believe that you got to believe in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. And therefore, people who don't believe in Jesus Christ are excluded. But the point I want to make about that is, if you even say that much, in other words, if you agree with us in saying you got to at least believe in Jesus to go to heaven, when you do that, you automatically exclude the majority of the world's population, because the majority of the world's population does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the reason I'm pointing that out is, I just want everybody to realize that all folks draw a line somewhere.
Exactly.
And so if you're going to draw this line somewhere, where are you going to draw it, and how are you going to determine it?
Right.
Who gets to set the rules?
There is a line. Everyone admits there is a line. Obviously, people would say, well, a Satanist is not going to go to heaven, right? There are people who worship Satan. Well, they're not going to. Everybody would say that, right?
Yeah.
And then there would be the Christians that we would call loosely the people Christians, who say you got to believe in Christ. But we say that line has to be even stricter than just believing in Christ. The ecumenical movement says as long as we believe in Christ, everybody's okay. But we see in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So, Mike, that line that we have to draw has to be all the way up to the way that we live our lives, the things that we do, not just believing in Christ, but believing in what he has told us and following the pattern that he has laid forth in the Bible.
No doubt, Jacob. It's amazing to me. I certainly wouldn't want to be on the Day of Judgment. And if you're a follower of the Muslims or of the Jews, then indirectly you're calling Jesus a liar, because the Muslims say that he was not the Son of God, that he was just a good man. However, Jesus said that I am the Son of God. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you believe Jesus, that's fine. If not, then what Jesus said, then obviously if you do not believe that, then that would make Jesus a liar.
Well, furthermore, we see that line. Jesus drew that line in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, when he said, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So Jesus is interested in us following the pattern that he's given us.
That's right. And so, again, just to reemphasize what we're saying here is, if we're going to answer this question, then we got to answer the bottom line question is, who's in charge? Who gets to make the rules? Who determines who goes to heaven? It's not us. By the way, let's be clear about that. It's not us. We're not the final authority in this, but neither is any other man. No man, no group of men, no council of men, no organization of men gets to set the rules or determine who goes to heaven. It's not me. That's not a determination that's in the power or grasp of mortal men.
But there is a set of rules that determines who gets to go to heaven.
There you go.
That's right. The number to call, 931-381-4567. 931-381-4567. What do you think about what we've said so far? You have any comments you'd like to add? Any questions? We look forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567, or email us. The email address to use is questions@collegeview.com. That email address, once again, questions@collegeview.com. If you're just joining us, we're looking at the question, do members of the Church of Christ think that they're the only ones going to heaven? I want to remind you, this is an enhanced edition of the virtual Bible study tonight. You can have a chart there to follow along with us, and if you'll click beside the link that you click to listen live, there will be a link there that will take you to some charts that you can view that will help you with the discussion tonight at collegeview.com. Well, we've looked at what the Bible says. There is a specific set of rules, a specific standard that we're going to be judged by. And Mike, you know, a lot of people think that that's something that would be a negative, but I think it's a very positive thing that we have a standard to go by. We're not left in the dark. We don't have to just wonder how God's going to judge us. God has laid it out there for us in black and white, and that's what we need to follow, and that's very comforting because we see the standard that God will use on the Day of Judgment.
Absolutely. When it's laid out in black and white, there is no room to... so that we're not confused or anything like that, as I'm sure we're getting ready to look here at a couple more things. I just did want to mention one thing. You know, from time to time when people ask that question, I think it does show a prejudice that they think that we are somehow lording that over them or bragging to them. We're certainly not a closed-door society or anything like that where we're going to church and you can't come with us, or we're going to heaven, I'm sorry, and you can't come with us. We're certainly, or we should be anyway, of course, wanting to spread the gospel, and we'd love to talk with anyone who'd like to call in tonight.
All right, 931-381-4567, or email us at questions@collegeview.com. Again, if you're out there, you're having trouble finding the outline for the program tonight, it is on the page you clicked on to listen live. To the right-hand side of that, there will be a link where you can view tonight's outline. We hope that that will help. If you're having trouble with that, why don't you send us an email, and maybe we can help walk you through that. But if you would, click beside the link you clicked to listen live, right after you entered in your zip code there, that will help you, and you can click there to get the outline for tonight.
Again, just to clarify, when you submitted your zip code, your optional name, and hit submit, you went to a page then, and the next click on that page turned on your media player. And so your media player may be covering your screen right now, so you can't see anything else. If that's the case, go up in the right-hand corner of your media player and minimize that, get it out of sight. Leave it up, leave it running, but minimize it so you're not looking at it, and that will take. And then you'll be able to see that previous page where you click to listen, and on that page you'll find the link to tonight's outline.
Maybe we need to have our webmaster make that 50-point font with flashing letters. Maybe. That would maybe help. It may be a little bit hard to find there, but we hope you're able to find that tonight. 931-381-4567, or email us questions@collegeview.com. It's time for our first break. We're going to take that, and while we're gone, we hope that you'll give us a call, 931-381-4567, or send us an email so we can talk about it when we get back. Stay with us. There's more to go right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. Well, regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back into the program. We're glad that you're here tonight on the virtual Bible study. As we look at the question, do members of the Church of Christ think that they're the only ones going to heaven? The number to call, 931-381-4567, or email us, questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use tonight to join in on the program. Why not share your comments or your thoughts with the group tonight as we have a Bible study group here on the internet? Why not share your comments with the group? 931-381-4567, or email us, questions@collegeview.com. Mike, before the break, we talked about the fact that there is a specific set of rules that God will use to determine who gets to go to heaven, and that is laid out in the Bible. The Bible is our standard to go by. God is going to use that standard. Jesus said that He would judge according to the words that He has spoken. John chapter 12, verse 48, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so Jesus and God are going to use that standard of judgment, and that is what we need to understand. Furthermore, we see from the Scriptures that not everyone who thinks that they are going to be saved will actually be saved. That's a fact that we need to come into to grasp and understand, that not everyone who thinks they're going to be saved is actually going to be saved on the Day of Judgment.
In Matthew 7, 21 and 22, Jacob, we have the verses here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
All right. And so there's going to be a surprise in the Day of Judgment, Mike, and a lot of people, looks like there from that passage, are going to be surprised, and they're going to be surprised in a bad way. They're going to find out that they're not pleasing to God.
Absolutely. And the verse also points out that I would think, Jacob, that you and I and everyone here, that you know, we know some fairly good moral people who actually aren't members of the church. However, that certainly doesn't mean that they're saved because they live a quote-unquote good life. However, they would be good people.
Well, Mike, there are a lot of atheists who live a good life, but we understand that they're not going to be saved on the Day of Judgment.
Absolutely.
Jacob, doing a little technical work in the background. There's why I was off the mic for a minute. We don't want to distract people with our charts, but if you're looking at the chart for tonight's discussion, if you'll hit the refresh button at the top of your browser, you'll move to the next step in our chart. So
if you're trying out a new feature here where the charts refresh themselves or update themselves.
Well, the charts update, and then you got to hit the refresh button.
So if you'll
refresh
after our breaks, that'll pull up the next chart to help you with the discussion tonight. If you'll refresh your chart, you'll see the next comments that we want to discuss, and we're looking forward to taking a comment from you. 931-381-4567, or email us, questions@collegeview.com. Well, we've seen there that not everyone who thinks they'll be saved will be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 is an excellent passage to show us that. As we look at the question, are members of the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? So that principle there tells us, Mike, that even though we think we're going to go to heaven, that doesn't mean that we will. So we've got to look into that standard that God is going to use to judge.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry, Greg. I was going to say absolutely. There's the world's thinking is that I suppose that people from many different quote-unquote denominations who are good, and I'm not sure what their standard would be, will actually end up in heaven. However, obviously from this verse and other verses, if you remember Jesus' time on earth, most of the time he spent here was spent teaching and preaching in the temple. And who was he preaching and teaching to? The chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, the quote-unquote religious
they
people.
They thought they were right, but Jesus showed them that they were wrong. You know, I think as we look at the religious world today, a lot of people in the religious world are using a very subjective standard. That's how they feel. How do they think God views them? Do they think that God accepts them? So they're using a very subjective standard, what they think, how they feel. But we see an objective standard in the Word of God, that God has laid forth this standard that we're going to use he's going to use to judge people, and that is a very objective standard.
Jacob, let me go real quick to an email from William in Sacramento, California. William, Glad that you're listening. He says he loves the program, makes a copy of it on CD to listen to on the way home after work. Way to go, William. That's a good way to use the virtual Bible study. We've got the archived programs up there on the website, and you can download those and listen to them in your car later. It's the way to go. He goes on to say, when people tell me that we believe that we, the members of the Church of Christ, are going to heaven, I tell them that's not what we believe just to believe it, but that's what the Bible says. Now, I think what William is emphasizing there is what we were trying to point out in our first segment. This is not something that we've invented or some peculiar doctrine that we teach because we like it that way, or that, you know, we really crave to have some exclusivity about salvation. We teach this because it's what the Bible teaches, that the only ones going to heaven are basically the ones who do what the Bible says to do, to go to heaven.
Yeah, one of the misunderstandings, I think we'll get into it a little bit later in the program, is that a lot of people use Church of Christ as the denominational term, like it's the Church of Christ versus the Baptist or the Methodist. We're not talking about the Church of Christ that way. We're talking about the Church of Christ as the Bible defines it, that being the body of saved believers that Christ has died for so that we might have the hope of heaven when we die.
Exactly right. William goes on to point out that Christ is the head of the body, and he's the also, and the body is the church. Christ is the head of the church, and we're going to talk about that as we get a little later into our discussion. But he brings up the point that the Bible teaches that there's only one body. I mean, Jesus is the head, and the church is a body. This is not some monstrosity that has multiple heads or multiple bodies. One head, one body, just like any being has one head and one body. Jesus is the head, the church is his body. There's one body. So we'll develop that theme a little more as we go along in our discussion.
We appreciate your question or your comment emailed from Sacramento, William. Glad that you're listening tonight on the virtual Bible study. We've got another one there, I believe.
Yeah, our good friend Preston down in Valdosta, Georgia, is listening again tonight, and he's chiming in on what we were saying earlier, Jacob, about the importance of believing in Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and he references John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5.
Well, that's right, and that tells us some important principles and facts about Christ, and I think those are essential. In order to be saved, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God, as it says there in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we need to understand and to believe that in order to be pleasing to God. Appreciate those comments down in Valdosta tonight. Preston, glad that you're listening tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567, or add your comments, email us, questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use tonight. questions@collegeview.com. As we examine the question, do members of the Church of Christ believe that they're the only ones going to heaven? We're looking at what members of the Church of Christ believe, and more importantly, what does the Bible say who is going to go to heaven? Mike, it's an important question because we're talking about things of eternal consequence here as we talk about who goes to heaven. We obviously want to be in that group of people going to heaven, and so the topic that we're talking about tonight has eternal consequence.
Absolutely. One of the most important things that we can learn as we look at the Bible, obviously. Now, one of the things that was mentioned before, I believe that the email from California mentioned in Ephesians 4, I believe was what he mentioned there, Greg, but it's interesting that in Ephesians 4, you know, when we talk about one church, Ephesians 4, 5 says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. According to denominationalism, that would be rewritten to say many lords, many faiths, many baptisms.
Yeah, exactly right. But it also would suggest that they're, you know, the denominational picture of Christianity is really a monstrosity, because they all view Jesus as the head. So Jesus, here's this head, Jesus, and he's got like, what, 1,200, 2,000 bodies hanging off that one head? It just doesn't make sense. There's one body.
Maybe you disagree with that. Why not call in and let us know, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions, question@collegeview.com is the email address to use.
Jacob Britt in Columbia, Tennessee, has written in to mention the verse that you and Mike were talking about already from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that it's not just calling Jesus Lord, but doing the will of the Father that will grant us entrance into heaven.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that comment, Britt. We're glad that you're listening tonight, and we appreciate your comment.
Got another email from Jeff in Fayetteville, Tennessee. Jeff, glad you're listening. He says, when we suggest that there are restricted areas and controlled circumstances where man obtains the spiritual blessings of God, we're not saying that God himself is limited or restricted. Rather, we are only pointing out that God has placed limitations and restrictions on man. You know, I think that's exactly right. God could have chosen to save men in any way he wanted to. He could have done anything he wanted, done it any way he wanted to do. But he, what he chose is what he revealed in the Bible, and so we go there to find out what he said, to find out what to do. God's in charge. He gets, again, reiterating our points, God's in charge. He gets to make the rules. He's the one who determines who goes to heaven, and therefore we got to find out from him what those rules are.
That's part of being humble and submitting to the will of God, is to find out what his will is and to apply it in our lives. The number to call, 931-381-4567, or email us at questions@collegeview.com.
Well, you know, Jeff goes on in his email, Jacob, to point out that God has done some things unconditionally. Matthew 5, verse 42, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God does some things unconditionally. You don't have to serve him to receive certain blessings from God. You know, here we live in the physical world, and we're the recipients of amazing benefits from God. But some of God's promises are conditional, and his spiritual blessings are found in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. So we've got to be in Christ. We got to be in the place where God's spiritual blessings are. Just as Jeff goes on just to say, as Noah had to be in the ark to be saved from the flood, and so on and so forth.
Well, it looks like Jeff's fingers work pretty fast there. He sent you a long email, a lot of comments, and we're glad
to... Way to go, Jeff. May have to save some of that and put it in the church bulletin. It was a good article.
Appreciate those comments. 931-381-4567, or send us a question or comment at questions@collegeview.com.
Got a question from Mark and Welty in Cookeville, Tennessee. He says, hi to you, Mike. Here's his question. How do you know if you are saved or not? If there's going to be a surprise at Judgment Day, I don't want to be surprised.
Well, nobody wants to be surprised. That's a good question, Mark. And as we said, God gets to make the rules, and Jesus said very clearly what the standard will be. John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so we see that the standard that will be used is the Word of God, the things that God has communicated to us as being his will for us in our lives. 931-381-4567, or email us your question or comment. Use the address questions@collegeview.com to communicate with us and share your thoughts with the rest of the group tonight on the virtual Bible study. Again, remember that this is an enhanced edition. If you're looking at your outline, you should have hit the refresh to go to the next point. As we're looking at the important question tonight, are we considering ourselves the only ones that are going to heaven?
I want us to go to another thing on that chart, Jacob, where it mentions that the scriptures teach a clear and specific plan of salvation. I think Jeff's email hinted at that a lot, and it really is clear. You know, a lot of times when we're teaching people what they must do to be saved, all my life I remember preachers sort of holding up one hand and each finger on the hand representing a step in the plan of salvation.
We want to remind our listeners, this is not a plan that we've devised. It's what the Word of God says. Each one of these steps are listed as being essential in order to be saved.
We're not finding these points in a creed book. There hasn't been a council of men who met to vote upon it and decide that this is what we would require. This is what we read in the Bible. First of all, you've got to hear the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Having heard that, you've got to believe it. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you hear the truth and you believe it. Based upon that faith, then you repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You must confess, verbally confess your faith in Jesus. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you have to be baptized. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We had a previous program already on the subject of baptism. It's a really important subject. But notice, we're not saying here that baptism is the only thing you have to do to be saved. It's a part of the plan. It's a necessary part of the plan. But there are other necessary conditions that one must comply with in order to receive the gift of salvation from the Lord. Now remember, it's a gift from God. We're not earning it. But these are the conditions upon which you receive his gift. And we often refer to it as the plan of salvation.
And remember what we said here. These are what the Bible says are required in order to be saved, that is, to go to heaven. Notice what it says. If you don't repent, you'll perish. If you don't confess, you won't have salvation. And if you're not baptized and you don't believe, You'll be damned. You won't be saved. Yeah. And so we see the clear instructions that God has given us in His Word. That's what's required in order to be saved. That's what the Bible says. And so we see that those things are required. If those things are not done, if a person is not willing to submit to the will of God, we see that person will not go to heaven. And so that person, we see, will, as we answer the question tonight, we see that person will not enjoy heaven in eternity. The number to call, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments. The email address to use is questions@collegeview.com. Time for another break. And when we get back, we look forward to taking a comment from you. 931-381-4567, or email us. The email address, once again, questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Do you remember when the emphasis of the work of the church was on teaching the gospel, converting the lost, and strengthening the saints? Can you recall good old-fashioned gospel preaching that appealed to the Bible as the sole and final authority in all religious matters? Are you tired of seeing churches that seem much more interested in social events and entertainment than in simply following the New Testament pattern? Would you love to hear lessons from the pulpit like you used to hear? Do you want to find a church that is still doing things the way you remember from years ago? If these things describe the way you are feeling, please visit us soon. Come and see. Visit us at the College View Church of Christ.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like He has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Mike Holt. My wife and I, we love listening to the Virtual Bible Study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the Virtual Bible Study. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back into the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you joined us. If you're just now joining us, we're talking about the question, do members of the Church of Christ believe that they're the only ones going to heaven? The number to call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567, or you can email us your comments or questions by emailing the following address, questions@collegeview.com. And remember that this is an enhanced edition of the study tonight. If you'll refresh the slide that you're looking at there on your computer screen, you'll see the next points popped up that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the fact that when we comply with the instructions that God has given us, Dad, that we're automatically added to that one true church that we read about in our New Testament.
That's right. In Acts 2, verse 47, sort of the historical setting of Acts 2:47 is important to notice. That's when the gospel was first preached on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had there in Jerusalem been crucified, buried, and resurrected. He spent 40 days with the disciples. He ascended to heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, as had been promised by Jesus. They began to speak and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, they were preaching the gospel to some of the very people who had been responsible for the death of Jesus. And when that message struck their heart, verse 37 says, they were pricked in their hearts, said, "Men and brother, what shall we do?" And they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That day, 3,000 were baptized, verse 41 says, and verse 47 says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now notice, they asked what to do to be saved. They were told. They did what they were told to do. And the Lord added them to the church when they did.
And that's the thing that we see was automatic, that when they complied with the instructions that God had given them, they were added to the church. And as we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, that there is one body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 defines that body as being the church, where we read, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him which filleth all in all." So Jesus is head of the body, which is his church, and there is only one body, therefore we conclude that there is only one church that's pleasing to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, we see again where there is one body, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, we read, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The Bible is very clear that there's only one body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 defines that language for us where it tells us that the body is the church. Therefore, there is only one church that's pleasing to God.
You know, that's just almost like mathematical logic to me. I mean, I can almost see a math teacher in junior high school, maybe, you know, fundamental algebra, Mike, you know, say, there's one body. The body is the church. So if there's just one body and the body is the church, therefore there's just one body, there's just one church. I mean, it just follows like mathematical logic. And I, you know, I think a lot of people wouldn't be upset if you quoted Ephesians 4:4 and said there's one body. But if you told people there's just one church, man, they just get all upset about that. But that's what the text says.
The text says, and as you pointed out, Greg, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church, that would be singular. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Christ promised to build one church, the church, not many churches.
That's right. We see that the church is repeatedly used in singular language in the New Testament, not many churches, but one church. In Acts chapter 5, verse 11, so fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, again, has put all things under his feet and given him to be a head over all things, the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the head, a husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. If we were to look at this as many in the religious world today look at this, we'd have to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, that for the husband is the head of the wives, as also Christ is head of the churches. It just doesn't make sense. It's not what the Bible teaches.
That's right. So anybody who wants to argue that point about there's just one church is going to have to go to these various texts and show us how a plurality of acceptable churches would fit with the things that are being described in the illustrations and the examples that are being used to make the points.
The number to call, 931-381-4567. Looking forward to hearing from you on the phones tonight, 931-381-4567. We have a lot of questions and comments emailed from questions@collegeu.com, but we look forward to hearing from you on the phone, 931-381-4567.
We know a lot of people probably got their phone line tied up with their computer as they listen to the virtual Bible study, and I know that that's a problem for some. You may have a cell phone. Pick up your cell phone. Where you live, you may have free nights and weekends working right now, so call us on your cell phone. But if you can't call, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Got another comment. Got a comment from a Columbia, Tennessee listener right here in our own immediate community. And it says you need to love the truth, but I think the scripture reference may be off. It says 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. I think they were wanting to say 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. It speaks about some who are going to be lost. They're going to perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's really what we're pressing in our study. Well, whenever we study, that's what we're pressing. You got to love the truth, and you got to accept its consequences, and no matter whether they're agreeable or convenient to you or not.
That's why we're here tonight. We would be surfing the web on our computer instead of talking about the Bible on our computer if we didn't love the truth, if we didn't want to know what God has revealed to us in His Word, which is the truth. We're looking at that tonight, and we're glad that you're here. And that's why we're here on every Thursday night, to look at what God has revealed to us in His Word.
Got a question from Jared in Cookeville, Tennessee. Jared, glad you're listening. People often say, I can't believe God would destroy everyone who isn't a Church of Christ Christian. In other words, I think what Jared's saying is a lot of people just can't believe that God would punish people who are not in a specific religious organization. He says, those same people must have trouble with the story about Noah and the flood in Genesis 7. In this story, God destroyed people who didn't follow Him the way He said. We had better be ready, because God has destroyed people who have not followed Him in the past, and He'll do it again. And I think that's exactly right. And Jared in Cookeville also says, hey to Mike. Mike must be popular in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Got a lot of people there listening in Cookeville that know Mike. We're glad that you're listening over there in Cookeville, and we appreciate those comments. 931-381-4567. Or email us questions@collegeu.com.
Got a question from John in Indianapolis. John, glad you're there. Jesus said that He had other sheep that were not of this fold. He also spoke of Himself as the vine, and something or someone were branches. Don't both these passages suggest that the body of saved people include more than you folks in the churches of Christ?
Well, I think it's important to understand when Jesus was talking about that, and he was speaking, I believe, to individuals there when he says that he is the vine and we are the branches. We have to abide in him or else we'll be pruned from those branches. But also the fact when he says that there were sheep that were not of this fold, I believe he's talking there about Gentiles. He was addressing his comments to Jews there, and he was telling them that there are some people that are going to be in a right relationship who are not Jewish, but they were Gentiles, and that's, I believe, what he's speaking about there,
yeah,
in that reference.
Yeah, that text is in John chapter 10 and verse 16, and Jesus was dealing with the Jews, and especially the very self-righteous Pharisees of that day. And that's the point he was making. It wasn't that I've got sheep in this church and I've got sheep in another denomination and so forth. That wasn't the point at all. In the context, he's talking to the Jews, and he's saying that salvation was not going to be exclusively to the Jews, which was sort of a hard thing for them to swallow because they had been exclusively God's special people for centuries, and Jesus pointing out it wasn't going to continue to be that they were exclusively God's people.
And the reference to the vine and the branches, I believe, is John chapter 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Notice this, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Jesus is talking to individuals there. He's not saying the denomination that doesn't abide in me cannot bear fruit. He's talking about the individual there, and he said, as he addresses those comments.
I think you're exactly right, Jacob.
He goes on in verse 6 to say, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And so there again, we see the individuals being referenced in John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6.
Yeah, another Columbia comment. 1 Corinthians, this gives us this verse to reference 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. That verse is going to, Mike, I think you got it. That verse is going to talk about division. God and the Lord doesn't approve it.
Absolutely. Just to read the verse, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How does that fit with denominations? Is the same thing taught that we teach here? Is it taught in the Baptist Church? Is it taught in the Mormon Church? Or taught in the Catholic or Presbyterian or Methodist or whatever it is? This verse, along with, I think, John 17, 20 and 21, which basically says the same thing about speaking the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, does not fit with denominational.
A lot of people in the denominational world, though, would say that this is a good thing because we all can work together. We all can proclaim Christ to the world if we all have denominations that are working together. But notice what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning of verse 8. Paul says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of all ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. How is that to be made known? How are these things to be made known? They were to be made known by the church, singular, not by the churches, the multiple denominations in the world. That wasn't the plan that God had from the beginning. God had a plan in the beginning to send Christ to die for the church.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is really a sort of a touching and meaningful passage along this line is to think of Jesus as he was praying just before his arrest and his crucifixion in John chapter 17. He had been praying for his apostles, and then he said in John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So it was very important in Jesus' mind that his followers be united. You got to believe that the Lord, therefore, is not pleased with the divided religious world as it exists today. Christians, people who give allegiance to Christ, or at least verbally acknowledge their faith in Christ, and yet they're all divided into just thousands of different religious organizations. That cannot be the answer to the prayer that Jesus was praying.
And if it is, then we've got a really weird relationship between Christ and God, the Father, because that's not the way that
that's right. He said he wants us to be united in the way that he and the Father are united. Well, they're perfectly united. There's not a single shred of difference in what they believe. Everything they think and do is just in complete harmony.
We never have Jesus saying, God, our Father, I'm going to have to agree to disagree with you.
No, that's right.
that just doesn't work. Yeah, the number to call, 931-381-4567, or email us. Send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Time for our last break. When we get back, there'll be about 15 minutes to go. We hope you'll stay tuned on the virtual Bible study tonight. We look forward to hearing from you. 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We're back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So if you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church, but you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more, there's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
My name is Roger Toombs, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over, and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned to the top of the hour. We're looking at the question tonight, do members of the Church of Christ think that they're the only ones going to heaven? More importantly tonight, we're looking at what the Bible says. Who does the Bible say is going to be able to go to heaven? 931-381-4567 is the number to call. We look forward to hearing from you on the phone tonight, or send us your question or comment to the email address questions@collegeview.com. We're looking at this important question tonight, and we want to remind you to refresh your page there with the slide that has our notes and the topic of discussion tonight. Refresh that page, and you should see some more points show up on your screen.
Yeah, if you've refreshed your chart, look at that chart. Over on the right-hand side, we've got a summary of what we've talked about tonight. Concerning the question, is it true you Church of Christ people think you're the only ones going to heaven? Notice what we've talked about. Who gets to set the rules? God does. Where do we get our religious authority? From the Bible. Not everyone who thinks he's going to be saved will be saved. The Scriptures teach a clear and specific plan of salvation, and when one complies with the conditions of salvation, God adds him or her to the one true church. And then, based upon those things that we have discussed, and we've had some good input from some of our listeners tonight, we appreciate that very much, but notice there's some things to conclude. You're added, if you have complied with the plan of salvation, the Lord has added you to the one true church, and that one true church belongs to Jesus, Jacob.
That's right, that church belongs to Jesus. That's what it says, because he said he would build it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we read, Jesus says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus says there very clearly, Mike, that he was going to build his church, and therefore that church would have to belong to him.
Exactly right, Jacob, as we mentioned before. At no time in the Scriptures does it mention multiple churches, multiple faiths, multiple baptism. It just mentions one church. We've mentioned before Matthew chapter 7, talking about the straight and narrow way, that this is somewhat of a narrow teaching. However, that is what Jesus has taught. But we're certainly open to talk to people. We'd like to talk with you, if you're listening tonight, about what we're talking about here.
Well, I think it's important to notice, Dad, that this term and this designation of the church is mentioned in the Bible. Romans chapter 16, verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So it is a biblical designation of the church, but it's not a denominational name like we're so familiar with seeing in the world today. It's not a denominational name that that sort of divides us from the world or from another group that is equal with us. It is a designation that shows who we belong to. We're a church of Christ.
That's right. And I hope people can understand that use of terminology. It is the church of, that is the church belonging to Christ. It's not a denominational tag or name. Now, unfortunately, sometimes it's used that way. I mean, I hear people saying, oh, you're Baptist, you're Methodist, you're Church of Christ. And I think that's bad terminology, bad usage of terminology. The Church of Christ simply means it is the church that belongs to Jesus. We might say, you know, that is the computer of Jacob. And when we say that, we mean that's the computer that belongs to Jacob. Or that's the car of Mike out there in the parking lot. That means that's Mike's car. It belongs to him. And so when we use the expression Church of Christ, we're simply saying it is the church that belongs to Jesus. It belongs to him. There's just one of them. He said, I will build my church, and therefore it belongs to him. And that's why we call it the Church of Christ, denoting his possession of that body.
And remember, there's only one church, and so it must then be the church that belongs to Christ if it's going to be pleasing to God. You know, as we talk about the fact that this is not just some denominational name, we could also say that that church is the church of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the church belongs to God as well. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which you purchased with his own blood. Again, we see that the church is referenced as the church of God. And again, that's not a denominational title. That is a designation that represents the fact that the church belongs to God.
Got an email from Jonathan in Moody, Alabama. Jonathan, thanks for listening. It says, it seems to me that the question as posed is very prejudicial. It really does not matter what the members of the Church of Christ believe. Now, what he's saying is, if you notice our chart, is it true that you Church of Christ people think that you're the only ones going to heaven? So he's saying that's a prejudicial. Now, that's often the way it's worded, and that's why we've worded it thus on our chart, but I agree with Jonathan, that's a prejudicial expression, because it implies that what matters is what we think, and that's not what matters. Jonathan goes on, what matters is what the Bible says. Members of churches of Christ believe all kinds of things that are not scriptural, so it's not a biblical question. In other words, people in the church, I know people who call themselves members of the Church of Christ, and they believe things I don't believe.
And so that's an important thing. We not everyone who says they're a member of the Church of Christ is actually a person who's in a right relationship with God who will be going to heaven.
Yeah, now he says a fairer question would be, are only members of the Church of Christ going to heaven? And he's underlined the, and he says, you're demonstrating biblically that the answer to that question is yes, and I agree with him. The answer is yes. Only members of the church that belongs to Jesus that you read about in your Bible, they're the only ones going to heaven. Now, that doesn't, you know, that I'm not saying that you got to be, if you lived in Columbia, Tennessee, that means College View Church of Christ. You know, we hope that the College View Church of Christ is faithfully serving the Lord and following his will, but what we're saying is we can say definitely, without fear of contradiction, that the Bible says the ones who are going to heaven are the ones who are members of the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, the church that belonged to Jesus, and you got to be in that body to go to heaven.
As we've demonstrated, the Bible teaches that unequivocally. There is no question about the fact that the Bible says you've got to be in the church of Christ if you want to be saved, you want to be pleasing to God. Now the question, Mike, is, are we in that church? Are we pleasing to God? Have we submitted to his will? Just because we may profess that we're in that church of Christ, are we actually submitting to God's will and following the instructions he's given us so that we can be pleasing to him and enjoy heaven in eternity?
Absolutely. Just because the sign on out front may say Church of Christ, as Greg pointed out, there may be things that particular church may be doing that is certainly unscriptural or something like that. If you come here and you do the things that we talked about, the five steps of salvation, maybe you're baptized. You're not baptized so that you're saved to the College View Church. You're saved to the Church of Christ. College View is just a designation of this particular church.
The number to call, 931-381-4567. Plenty of time to take a call from you. I'd like to hear from you tonight, or we have lots of time to take your email as well. Send us your emails to questions@collegeu.com. Do you agree with us or do you disagree? Let us know your thoughts. 931-381-4567 or email us. questions@collegeview.com is the address to use.
I know that our topic is fairly controversial. As I said earlier, if people find out that we're members of the Church of Christ, usually one of the first questions they want to ask us is it true that you believe that you're the only ones going to heaven. And so hopefully we've had some people listening to the program tonight who've never understood what we really mean and what we really believe in response to that question. So I hope our explanation is clear. And again, if you want to look at that interactive chart that we've had up during the course of the broadcast tonight, you can kind of see in summary how we would approach the answer to that question. It's an important matter, and we felt that it was certainly worth dealing with on our broadcast tonight, Jacob.
We do, and we hope that it has helped you. The number to call is 931-381-4567 to share your comments quickly before we end, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use. You know, we've talked about the fact that a lot of people in the religious world don't like this idea, and a lot of people don't like the idea that not everyone who thinks they're saved is going to be saved. Mike, that's a question, or that's an idea that a lot of people have trouble with understanding and trouble accepting the fact that not all the people who think they're going to be saved are going to be saved. We see in the Bible, though, a lot of people who felt like they were in a right relationship with God, and they actually weren't. Paul's an excellent example of that in Acts chapter 23, verse 1. Paul says, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And so just because we have a clear conscience, Mike, just because we think that we're in the right relationship with God, that doesn't guarantee anything. We've got to make sure that we go back to the Scriptures, we consider the standard that God has set forth there, and we make sure that we're complying with the instructions that He's given us.
Absolutely. The entire book of Acts, from start to finish, if you look at the conversions in the entire book, they happen the exact same way. There's some truly amazing conversions in there. One would be Cornelius, who himself, as it describes in there, was actually a very quote-unquote religious man. However you look at it, he still had to follow the steps of salvation that were preached to him in order to be saved. One of the things that that's interesting to me, Greg, is that this idea that that you believe something, I believe something, we're both okay. But there's quite a few things in the Bible in Acts 18 in the matter of Apollos. Remember, he was preaching the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him more rightly the Scriptures. If it doesn't matter what you and I believe, why would they take him aside to teach him more perfectly?
I think it's a good point, Mike. You know, but as you suggested, people in the religious world have gotten to the point of believing that you can believe really anything you want, and it doesn't matter. What you believe one thing, I believe another, and we're both okay. But think about it. Concerning matters that are a lot less important than our souls, they would not be so generous. In other words, if you went over to Walmart and you bought something and the gal at the cash register, she checking you out, she handed you back the wrong change, and you said, "Now wait a minute, you know, I gave you a $20 bill and you owe me $16 in change and you only gave me $2." She said, "Well, that's just the way I count. That's just the way I believe." You're going to have to come to terms there, and you're not going to leave Walmart until you get that straightened out to where you're both believing the same things about how much money you should get back. So what I'm saying is people about things that are a lot less important than eternal souls are not willing to say, "You believe one thing and I believe another, and it doesn't matter what we believe."
That's right. We appreciate you listening to the program tonight. We hope that we helped answer the question, Dad. Do members of the Church of Christ believe that they're the only ones going to heaven? We've looked at what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Who's going to go to heaven? We see that the Bible says very clearly that only the people who are in the church that Jesus died to establish are going to be in a right relationship with God at the end of time.
I think that's exactly right. I wanted to mention one email question that we got early tonight, and we didn't deal with it because I think maybe it's a topic we want to develop a little bit. Maybe we can even discuss it in our program next week, Jacob. We had an emailer from up in Indianapolis, Indiana, wrote and said, "I heard a discussion on a talk show this afternoon where a caller suggested that Hurricane Katrina was a tool of our Lord to punish New Orleans for their promotion of sin and to punish Southern Mississippi for their promotion of gambling. What do you say about that?" You know, this natural disaster down in New Orleans and Mississippi and Alabama, it's a horrible thing. We've all been seeing it on the news, and it may be worth at least part of our time next week talking about that in regards to this email. So we appreciate the email. We're not going to ignore it. We'll try to deal with it maybe a little more thoroughly next week.
It's a difficult question to answer, but I'll tell you this. I did think about this today. You know, we've looked at the looting and the mayhem that's going on down there. Surely that has to be somewhat of an offshoot of the immoral lifestyle that the people live in New Orleans. You know, there is no real standard of morality down there, so why not do the looting and the killing that's going on? You know, that has to be an obvious development of that lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, there are some ramifications, some biblical implications, and maybe we can develop that in our program next week.
I think that would be a good discussion. We may have to add that with a little something else if we can't come up with enough material for the hour. But that gives us a good example, Dad, that our listeners can help us decide what we're going to talk about on the program by sending us in a question to questions@collegeview.com anytime during the week, and we can help. That'll help us determine what we talk about on the program.
Yeah, that link is always up, so you can always send in a question, not just during the hour that we're on Thursday nights, but anytime. Send us a question. We may roll that into a whole program where we get other people to come in as well.
I thought we had a good program tonight, Dad. Important topic that we looked at tonight, and I think that we showed from the scriptures what the Bible says, and that's what we're all about on the virtual Bible study, looking at what the Bible teaches us about God's will.
That's right. We call it the virtual Bible study, but the facts are real from the Word of God. Yeah. Glad to have Mike with us tonight. Mike, thanks for you. Maybe if we get you on more often, we'll get some of the. You got kind of a fan club over there in Cookeville, it sounds like.
Glad to get that listenership up.
Thanks for joining us, Mike. Enjoyed the discussion with you, and we're glad that you joined us on the program tonight. We hope you'll make plans to be back here next week for the virtual Bible study next Thursday night. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets in Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the virtual Bible study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.